Productions. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 60 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about weight loss through caching and kind of healthy caching. We are live tonight as we normally are. If you want to join us, if you've had any experience with this, give us a call, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. And we also have a chat room, and you can get there by going to geocachingpodcast.info and clicking the Join Now to Participate button. And our show notes can also be found at geocachingpodcast.info. Welcome back, everybody. It seems like it's been a long week since we've done this show, but it really hasn't. It's been the same length as it normally is. Daryl, what have you been up to since last time we chatted here on the show?
Well, the most obvious thing is the WWFM3 that we did in Novi. Photos of that are on Flickr and on my blog. And it was kind of fun because we went and did some 5-5 caching afterward with a group of, I want to say, about 14 to maybe even 20 people. So most of us actually just sat around and watched the guys climb the trees. But that was a riot. How about you?
Well, we did the same thing. We did a WWFM event, which is great. We had an awesome time. It was hosted by Candy, who is currently listening live to our show. And I'm not just saying it was great because she's listening. It really was. It was fun. We hit six caches, including the event, and we didn't hit. Candy and Dan had placed, I think it was five caches, new caches to be approved after the event. We only hit two of those because we just kind of went on a different route to come home, so we didn't actually go through all of them. But what we did was we did get six caches that day. It was fun. I just had Micah and Eli though, because Julie had to work. So we wish she could have been there, but I had fun, but it was too short. It seemed like we just got there, and it was time to go home and go out and caching. And I wish I could have got a chance, because it was in a couple towns over, so some of the different people came and normally come to our events that are in my town. So I didn't get a chance to meet everybody, but it was the people that I did get to meet. It was good to see them, meet some of them that I've seen their logs for before.
It's always nice, though, having those short events, because you get to go out caching with a bunch of the people that you meet up with at the WWFMs.
Yeah, see, we didn't, though, just because with the boys, it was going to be kind of hard for me to do that and keep doing that. So they met up afterwards at a restaurant and hung out for a while. Me and the boys just went ahead and went on caching. It was a lot of fun. They were tired by the end. I say six caches. We hit six caches, including the event, but actually... It was kind of the boys fell asleep, and so I got off of an exit on the way home and hit one more. So they only actually hit five. I hit six. It was one of those that I could just pull right up to it and get out, retrieve it, and get back in the van. No even leaving them. So it was great. I interviewed Candy just real quickly after the event, and I'll put that audio in our show notes that I captured, so you can go ahead and go to our show notes afterwards. Geocachingpodcast.info, and that's where you'll find that audio. We have new news since last time. GPS Babel 1.3.5 was released on May 5th, and there's an extensive list of bug fixes, support for additional formats and different units, and also there's a Mac version compiled as a universal binary. We'll put the link to that in our show notes, and I was looking at the list of bug fixes and stuff, and it looks like it's going to be a huge improvement on what they have now. So I can't wait for GSAC to incorporate that. If it hasn't, I don't know if it has or not. I haven't looked. I should have looked before the show to see if they did. But
yeah, and we should mention that most of the waypoint managers are using GPS Babel as the interface to talk with the GPSs.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to see. To see what that's going to happen. And maybe there'll be even new waypoint managers coming out too. Who knows? So you'll have to stick around and see as we talk about our waypoint show in a few weeks. For those of you who don't know, We do have a voicemail line. It's 206-350-3GPS, and you can call us and leave us that message on there anytime, any time of day, any time of night. It's just a voicemail. You won't talk to me or Daryl or Montu, and you can leave us a voicemail. And we have one of those voicemails to play you right now, so let's go ahead and hear that.
Hey, Andy, this is SDA Jumpmaster from Central Texas, the heart of Texas geocachers. And I just want to announce that I just returned from the WWFM3, and in a blatant act of self-promotion, I'd like to say that I just hit my 1,000th find with the WWFM. And it was really, really cool to do that. Anyway, thanks a lot. Great show. Love it. And we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, SDA Jumpmaster, for that input. And we, like I said, we love to hear everybody's stories or milestones or whatever you guys want to call in. And so go ahead and do that. We'd love to hear from you at 206-350-3GPS. And let's get into our topic tonight. We are going to be talking with Blue Depth about weight loss through caching. It's something that he's had some experience with. Welcome to our show, Blue Depth.
Hello. Thank you.
Well, I just want to get a little background here first on you. How long have you been caching?
I've been caching now for a year and a quarter.
Okay, and how did you come up with your screen name?
Well, I've always had this ever since I was a teenager. Favorite color, and people tell me I'm smart, but I think it's just cleverly played bull.
So, what motivated you to take up caching?
Well, it all started, caching was primarily for me just a way to, at the time, to lose weight. I had an accident in the kitchen, and I had I cut off the tip of my my left thumb, and went to the hospital, of course. This is all a work kind of nursing station kind of thing, and they had staff with doctors, and they got me all bandaged up, and they took my blood pressure, and I've got a family history of hypertension. So they said, okay, well, you've got a choice. You're 300 pounds, and your blood pressure is 141 over 98, and you're either looking at losing weight or you're looking at drugs. And if you start drugs now, you're going to be on drugs the rest of your days. So I took that to heart, talked to a nutritionist, got onto a nice diet program, and also picked up geocaching. And so it started out getting a GPS. And then from there, expanded out into acquiring lots of extra stuff and going on lots of hiking, lots of walking, as, you know, geocaching kind of encourages you to get out there and walk around. And so I've lost 60 pounds.
Well, that's not bad at all.
Nope.
Now,
and,
what was it that
pressure...
motivated you to... Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, my the geocaching is singularly responsible, I think, for my blood pressure going down to 120 over 80.
Ah. So what made you pick geocaching as the way to lose weight?
Well, it mixed a whole bunch of things that I was after. One, I'm a gadget junkie. I have iPods, I've got BlackBerry, I've got a phone, I've got, you know, anything that's small and beeps is pretty much got me. So, you know, I started with a Garmin GPS 60 map. And it was supposed to be a plain old Garmin 60 without the mapping feature, but the company I bought it from sent me the wrong unit and never corrected themselves, so their loss is my gain.
Well, what about any successes or failures that you've come across in the process?
Of caching?
No, sorry, on the weight loss front.
Oh. Well, you know, the thing is that when you're caching, you don't think about how far you're walking. And I put a pedometer on me and found out that I was pulling down 15-mile walks. Geocaching is a great way to ignore the fact that you're pounding down huge numbers of miles.
Now, have you had any failures there, though? Like
failures with trying to lose weight?
Yeah, I mean, like with the geocaching thing, is it always a success? Like, do you find, or is there sometimes like maybe the winter time is less? And if that's the case, would you do something else?
Yeah, winter is really hard. You know, I did gain like 5 pounds over the winter time. Discovering that geocaching during the winter here in Michigan is a true challenge, especially when you head out, you're full of vim and vigor, you're going to head out there, you're going to do a cache. You get out to the side of the lake and you realize that it's minus 13, you can't feel your hands, and you're wondering what the hell you're doing. That's time to hit the gym.
Yeah, that I second that notion. I know for those of people who aren't in the Midwest here, have got, you know, the people who are, you know, where it's warmer during the winter have no idea exactly how cold it gets here and how we really don't want to do caches during the winter. But, you know, on the same side, our co-host Montu, who's usually on with us, is in Florida, and he doesn't do a whole lot of caching during the summer because it's just too extremely hot there. But have you had any, like, how would you compare it to other weight loss programs? Is there anything that you've tried in the past that, as far as weight loss programs, and has that, how does that compare to geocaching?
Oh, without a doubt, it's supremely the best weight loss program I've ever been on. It's been a, you know, I've tried the regular stuff, you know, hitting the gym and using the elliptical machine and the rowing machine and lifting weights, and I've always hit plateaus. You know, I'll get down to, you know, 270, and that would be it. And no further progress could be made because I didn't have time to devote, you know, 3 or 4 hours to, you know, sitting in a gym trying to pound it out with free weights or whatever. The geocaching is, it's a great way to get your exercise in. Plus, it's profoundly addicting. And you don't want to stop. And so you start at 7 a.m. and you pound through the entire day. You stop for a salad for lunch. And before you know it, it's sundown and you've walked 25 miles and your legs feel like jelly, but you're so jazzed up that you don't even feel it.
So I guess you would classify geocaching as an addiction then.
Oh, it's an addiction. It's an obsession. It could be unhealthy if it didn't involve a lot of heavy walking. And I found also that, you know, and I thought that finding would be really the addictive part, but it's not. For me, it's hiding. It's hiding a cache. They feel like children, because when you hear people log the caches you've laid down, there's something in there that is just way better than finding.
Very cool. Now, aside from caching, do you have anything else that you do to lose weight?
Yes. Now that gasoline is at $4 a gallon, I've picked up my old 10-speed bike from when I was a kid. I still have it. So I took it in, got it tuned up, new tires, the new shebang. And now I commute to work in the mornings and the evenings. It's about 5 miles both ways. And that is, without a doubt, really helping. It not only it augments caching.
Now, yeah, and it saves a lot of gas, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's a workout, it saves gasoline, and I like to think that it's reducing my carbon footprint, but I know it's just flash in the pan.
Now, how often, you mentioned that, you know, you do a lot of caching. How often do you go caching? You know, like, normally, like, if you're doing an exercise program, you want to do it, you know, a fair amount of times a week. How often do you go caching?
Well, I try to do it all day on the weekends, and when the summer months, spring and summer, come up, ever since the federal government decided to move daylight savings time forward, I suddenly discovered I had a whole lot more daylight hours in which to cache. So get out of work at 5 o'clock and get right to it. You know, just get in the car and, you know, go from cache to cache to cache. The only problem I face now is that I'm practically burning out all of my local caches. I'm finding them all. And now I've got nothing left but Allegan, Michigan, and Grand Rapids, and I got to keep on roaming further and further out.
I was gonna ask. I was just gonna ask you that. How, you know, if with caching that much, do you get to the point where you don't, you know, you don't have anything else to cache? I know we saw you at our Cito event a couple weeks ago, and you came down to this area and did some caching. So yeah.
Yeah, I went from all the way from where we had our Cito event all the way across to South Bend. And then got lost on my way north and ended up somewhere, I think, Cassopolis, Michigan. And still, you know, caching is, again, it's the exercise, and I did not realize that the first astronaut came from Cassopolis. It's like, what?
Now, what do you do when you can't get out caching to keep up the exercise?
Well, you know, there's my university. I work at a university here in Michigan, in Kalamazoo, rather. And we have a student rec center, and when I can't cache and I can't bike and I can't, you know, walk along some of the parklands we've got, then pretty much I've got nothing left to me than to go to the recreation center and, you know, try to, you know, sweat it out with the students.
Well, it's nice to have that facility handy then.
Yeah, they've got a pool and they've got a sauna and they've got all those extra bits and, you know, it's a great place to catch an athlete's foot.
Yeah.
Well, what about any tips or cautionary tales for anyone that's looking to lose weight through caching?
Well, the one biggest advice you can give anybody is take a waypoint of your car, unless you're really interested in losing weight, and pack water. Very, very important. I personally am not susceptible to the poison varieties of plants. I am strange and lucky that way, I guess. I've doused myself in poison sumac, poison oak, and poison ivy, and I don't even get an itch. So, yay! But, you know, the big warning I'd have is, you know, watch out for the poison plants and try to keep some kind of antiseptic wipes on hand, especially in rural Michigan. Up here, we have a preponderance of wild roses and wild blackberry bushes, which when I run into them, and of course I don't follow the path, I go right to the cache, you know, right through the bramble, and I have fantasies of Agent Orange. You know, it's like, this would be easier if you defoliated the entire area. But that's not caching.
No, it is not. Well, I assume you're going to want to go for the caches that have the longer walks and things like that, too. Certainly, an LPC doesn't seem like it would give you much exercise.
Well, LPCs, I've always regarded those to be sort of like cotton candy. You know, it's really sweet and it boosts your numbers, but you don't feel satisfied because all you did was lift a skirt and you didn't even have to hunt for it. It's like, well, there it is. The one thing I did notice about most caches, at least here in Kalamazoo, is that every cache is about roughly 0.3 miles from any really convenient parking area. So you've got to get out of your car and then hike 0.3 miles to the cache and then 0.3 miles back. So that's 0.6. If you polish off maybe 20 caches a day, you've got yourself a major mileage.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess you would sum up your experiences as geocaching and weight loss, how would you sum that up?
Get out there. I mean, it's all about motivation. You know, I tell people, I have my nutritionist, as I said, asked me, you know, how I was so successful in dropping 60 pounds of weight, going from like size 44 down to a size 38. And the question came out, why is it that you were able to do such a thing? And, you know, caching is addictive. It's got this tremendous feeling of reward. And I tried to describe it to her, and I actually offered to take other people that are having a hard time losing weight, you know, peers, my coworkers, as it were, out caching. I haven't had any bites yet. I think the big problem is that people are wary of the expense of affording their first GPSR. They see $100 and they kind of freak out because they're not sure whether it's going to be, you know, for them or not. And but the thing is, I know that, you know, for young people and for retired people, and even for people who are, you know, having a hard time getting over certain physical impediments, like they're trying to do physical therapy or they're trying to find some way to get over like a replacement hip or something like that, is to find, you know, takes less than an hour caches and or a bunch of LPCs and at least get out and exercise. And the GPS and the reward from finding and the reward from hiding is so great that it's just magical.
Well, we want to thank you for being on our show today. We really enjoyed hearing from you and hearing your success stories. I know that Monty Ryder wishes he could be here tonight because he said he has lost a bunch of weight. He does this, you know, he loses weight a lot of times during the caching season. He said now during the summer he ends up gaining it back, which is just the opposite of what you said. But it's just for the same reason, because, you know, he doesn't get out and cache as much. But he said that, you know, he does lose a lot of weight doing that too. So thank you for being on our show tonight. We enjoyed having you.
Thank you.
So with that, I wanted to remind everyone to join us next week. We haven't quite decided our topic yet, but that's always a fun thing because you never know what you're going to get until the day. So join us next week. We do this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, or you can sign on to TalkShoe.com. And our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info, or if you're so inclined, you can leave a voicemail at 206-350-3GPS anytime, and we'd love to hear from you guys. So with that, thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week.